Welcome to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast, a relaxing and informative show where we explore anxiety, panic, and PTSD, sharing how you can overcome them for life.
Aloha! Welcome back to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast. I'm your host and coach, Gina Ryan, and I am so happy to be with you again today as together we can consider the many ways to bring your mind and body back to its natural peace and calm. In today's episode, I wanted to talk about overcoming financial anxiety, and I wanted to talk about it through bringing up minimalism, because I think that can be super helpful when we are looking at ways to reduce our stress load around our finances. And I wanted to start the show from one of my favorite Stoic philosophers, Epictetus. And he said, "Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants." And I always thought that was a helpful way to look at what we have and what we are striving for. And in our current modern society, there's a paradox that material wealth often leads to stress and anxiety. And here we are having more wealth, and with that, we are having more stress and anxiety around that wealth. So I thought we could explore the concept of simplicity as a key to avoiding financial anxiety. We're all going to need money to get through our life and our days and keep our families together, all of that. I get that. I'm a part of that. And that's not the problem. But if we can look at some concepts such as simplicity or minimalism as a key to avoiding financial anxiety, the stress and the strain around money, that maybe we can find our wealth beyond our material possessions. So there's an illusion of wealth, and there's this thing called the hedonic treadmill. And I thought that I would bring that up today so that we could actually look at that a little bit and see how it is that we get on this treadmill and what it is that is doing to us. The hedonic treadmill is also known as the hedonic adaptation. It's a concept in both psychology and economics, and it describes a tendency of humans to return to a relatively stable level of happiness or subjective well-being after experiencing positive or negative events. This phenomena suggests that despite changes in circumstances, individuals tend to maintain a relatively consistent level of happiness over time. So here are a couple of the key components of this hedonic treadmill. I think this is helpful because we get to see what's actually going on. Why are we headed in this direction that we are? So first up is the adaptation. Humans have a remarkable ability to adapt to changes in their lives, both positive and negative. When positive events occur, such as receiving a raise or purchasing new possessions, people often experience a temporary increase in happiness. But over time, they adapt to these changes, and the initial boost in happiness diminishes. So, okay, you see what I'm getting you set up for here, right? And then the set point. The hedonic treadmill theory suggests that individuals have a set point for happiness, which represents their base level of subjective well-being. And this set point is relatively stable and can vary from person to person due to genetic predispositions, personality traits, and life circumstances. So regardless of significant life events, people tend to revert to their set point of happiness. Now comes in comparison. People often gauge their happiness and their satisfaction relative to others or to their own past experiences. Now, this comparison can influence perceptions of wealth, success, and well-being. So, for an example, someone may feel satisfied with their income until they compare themselves to wealthier individuals, leading to feelings of inadequacy and dissatisfaction. And now, materialism. The hedonic treadmill is closely linked to materialism. The pursuit of material possessions and wealth as a means to achieve happiness. While acquiring material goods or achieving financial success may provide temporary pleasure, individuals on the hedonic treadmill tend to adapt to these improvements and may subsequently seek out even more possessions or wealth in pursuit of sustained happiness. So, as we can see, the overall idea of the hedonic treadmill says that while external circumstances and life events can influence our happiness in the short term, long-term happiness is more closely tied to internal factors such as mindset, outlook, and personal values. Understanding the hedonic treadmill can really help us, I think, to recognize the limitations of our material pursuits in achieving lasting fulfillment. And it can encourage us to focus on cultivating the intrinsic sources of happiness and well-being. And I think that it's a beautiful place to spend time is on your values. What is important to you? And your mindset, your outlook, these are all things that we talk a lot about here. So you can see that when you are off with your values or you are off with what your outlook in life is and maybe seeking to chase something that isn't particularly in your own value system, you can feel off. And it may not be a good use of your time and energy, and your anxiety may be a clue to you as to something being off. You know, we get these feelings. Some people get guilt. A lot of people write to me about having guilt around their difficulties with finances. And so one of the things that we talk about when we're in a session together would be where that feeling is coming from. Oftentimes we are involved in things that aren't important to us. And you can find that if you do something as simple as decluttering your house. You can look at your belongings and ask, do I want this? Do I need this? Is this bringing me any value? And another way is that you can check in prior to buying something. Check in with your values and your wise mind before you get new items. Do I need it for myself or for others? Do I want it? If I want it, why? It's okay to dig a little deeper into what we're doing with our lives and not just going along to get along. Like, why do I want this? It's a good question to ask. It might be revealing. What need am I trying to fill? And can I fill that need in another way? And on the flip side of all of that is we could learn to be more grateful, right? For what we already have. It may not even be very much, but we can appreciate it. And that can actually feel good. So maybe the feeling good comes from the appreciation, not from the having. I have found the beauty of today's sponsor, OneSkin, to be First off, how easily these products work together and fit into any skincare routine, including mine. Next, the medical-grade ingredients in the OS1 Face Moisturizer and OS1 Eye Cream make skin look visibly smoother and clearer, and right away you're going to feel your skin softer and more hydrated. So if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, then I'm excited to share with you OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multi-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company by focusing on the cellular aspects of aging. OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ACP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ACP. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. I'm excited to share today's sponsor, Prolon Life. If you have ever considered water fasting for the incredible health benefits, you are going to love Prolon 5-Day. Thousands of doctors now recommend Prolon to support healthy blood sugar and cardiovascular health. Prolon Life is a plant-based nutrition program. It nourishes the body while making cells believe that they're fasting. This induces autophagy or autophagy, the body's internal cellular repair and recycling pathway, which has been linked to improved health and reduced disease. Its scientific formulations provide precise macro and micronutrient ratios that provide the maximum amount of nutrients the body will allow before triggering its nutrient sensing pathways, otherwise promoting growth and accelerating aging. Right now, Prolon is offering the Anxiety Coaches Podcast listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/ACP. That's prolonlife.com/ACP for this special offer. Prolon L Nutra. That's prolonlife.com/ACP. And I often find that people feel guilty when they're sharing with me about their financial guilt and it bringing them to the place of anxiety. We get to the place where we want to look that in the eye. We can look at why we feel guilty and see if what we have is causing us to feel guilty and if we can let it go. Is this something that I need to have in my life? Is this a pursuit that I need to continue? We can also find a way to be with the feelings long enough so that they can speak to us. Often we get a feeling of guilt or a feeling of discomfort when we're buying something or doing something or maybe not having enough even. And we feel so much discomfort, we try to fill it right away. But I'm saying if we could be with that for just a little bit, you might be able to hear the message that is trying to come through. So when we talk about minimalism, and if we're trying to redefine the meaning of wealth, we could look at the idea that wealth is not solely defined by the accumulation of our possessions, but again, by having gratitude for the things that we do have, even if that is just a few things. And so then we can begin to see that it is not, in particular, the accumulation or the items, but in how we feel about them. This is why many people can have a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a lot of items, things, cars, houses, boats, planes, whatever, and still not feel good, not feel content or satisfied, because it's not about the possessions. And you know, when we're going along with our day-to-day life, we're not always thinking like that, right? We think, oh no, I got all these bills to pay. I don't feel comfortable with it. I'm starting to feel anxious. Looking at the bank account. So all we try to do is we put that fire out, take care of that in the moment, and then we move on at the same hectic pace that we were at. And my hope here today is that you can give yourself some space if you are feeling financial stress and anxiety, that you could not only use minimalism, but some mindfulness in actually taking some time and letting those feelings be with you and see what their message is. Where is all this going? And some of the things that we could do if we are feeling that and we feel like we want to pay more attention to our accumulations and our things that we have in our life, we could go a little bit to the minimalist side and do some decluttering. We could prioritize our experiences over our possessions, and we could practice more gratitude. We want to cultivate more awareness and more contentment. And the more that we can spend time in the uncomfortable feelings, the more that we can make a little bit of space to hear what that discomfort is really about. Because for each of us, this is going to be different. Our finances and our, as I mentioned earlier, our genetic predispositions for things, it's going to be very different person to person. But we want to feel comfortable in our own skin. So we have to sit with the discomfort sometimes in order to hear the message. What is it? Is it overspending? Is it accumulating to just accumulate? Maybe we are just paying too much attention to what's online. Maybe social media has clouded our view of who we are and what is important to us and our family. And this can be an opportunity, that pain, that discomfort, that anxious jab could be a call to slowing down and looking at what is happening, what you are doing, and what your values are. And are those matching up? Does what you're doing match up with what your values are? And sometimes, like I said, we can go months, years, decades without taking the time to clue in to our values again and say, wait a minute, I'm spending so much time, effort, money, whatever on XYZ, and it doesn't even matter to me. That is not what's important to me. So again, maybe you would prefer to prioritize experiences over possessions. Maybe you could take that step back and practice gratitude for each and everything that you have. Now, if that sounds overwhelming, maybe you need to do a little decluttering, maybe downsizing a little bit. There's a fun podcast to listen to if you're interested in the minimal kind of life, and it's called The Minimalist. You might want to check that out if you're interested in getting a handle on what the minimal life can look like. So when it comes to financial mindfulness, sometimes we need to do the pen to paper, hardcore tracking expenses. Maybe we need to pay attention to where each dollar and cent is going to. Maybe we haven't done that in a long time and we're feeling some stress because we don't know exactly where the money is going, and we would do well to spend some time tracking that down. And maybe we could set up some meaningful, and by that I mean your values, meaningful financial goals. And maybe we need to stop comparing ourselves to others. Maybe we need to look at, where do I want to be? Not where the rest of the world is going, not what's important to neighbors or family, friends, or social media, just what is important to you and your family, and maybe stop comparing and move on with your own goals. You know, gratitude can play an important role here in us being able to feel contentment and contentment for what we have, regardless of our financial circumstances. Often the finances take over and we think that is the most important. But I think if we could look at gratitude first, we can begin to put our financial lives in the proper order. If we can be grateful when we open our eyes in the morning and can put our feet on the ground, and maybe we're not well and not getting out of bed that day, we can be grateful that we can take another breath. We really can pare it down to that. And so often we don't. So often we are just looking for more. And it causes us stress and it causes us anxiety. And I know this because I hear you tell me. And I can see that we are off track. I have been there too. And I can get there easily if I don't pay attention to what's important to me. What are my values and what are my goals? And maybe a plan, making a plan, a sustainable financial plan would be in order for you and your family, or maybe just for you. And by aligning your spending with your values. Because the importance of aligning our habits, especially our spending habits, with our values and our priorities can really keep us on track in a calm and focused way. There are so many benefits of creating things like a budget that can reflect your values and can allow you to have intentional spending. This can be such a relief. You don't need to be thinking about it all the time because you've set it up and you're running on that track. And we want to focus on setting our financial goals that focus on fulfillment and our well-being rather than just material accumulation. Again, I think this is sometimes where we kind of put our fulfillment and well-being on the back burner and we don't pay attention to it, so it doesn't get any playtime at all. So when you're setting up your financial goals and your plans, make sure that you are focused on your own well-being and what is going to be fulfilling in your life. So remember, I want you to look at fun things like simplicity and mindfulness as a way of aligning with your values and avoiding financial anxiety. You can have financial stress and anxiety at any income level. This isn't about how much you make. People are stressed at all income levels about their finances. And isn't that interesting? It's not about reaching a particular level of income. It is about knowing what is important to you and aligning yourself with those values. I hope that today's show was helpful for you, and I hope that you can at least be looking at your financial stress or your income distress through a different lens. Maybe you can see that there's another way to look at this, and that it's not about that I need more of XYZ. Maybe I can be grateful for what I have today and go forward from there with what's most important to me and my family. Again, I hope this show was helpful, and I'd love to hear from you if you have anything you'd like to share with me or any suggestions of what you'd like me to discuss here on the show. AnxietyCoachesPodcast@gmail.com. And now for today's quote. Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. And that's from Epictetus. I'll be back in a few more days with another podcast. Until then, be well and aloha.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode of the Anxiety Coaches Podcast. Find more information at theanxietycoachespodcast.com.